Well, hey there, and welcome to episode 27 of the Run From Zero podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Krismer. So glad that you're joining us today. And as a constant reminder, if you've not yet listened to the message from Sunday, we encourage you to pause this episode now, go back and listen to that message, which could be found wherever you're watching this video or listening to this podcast today, before continuing on in this episode, as it's going to help this conversation make much more sense to you. Because on today's episode, Stephen, Todd, and I sit down and we discuss this word holiness. We try to bring a little bit more clarity and try to really drive heavy application. Now, we talk a lot about the way that we live our life, some of our core motivations, and then we look at a few characters within Scripture and the holiness journey that we can so clearly see God had them on then, because it, you know, may actually be a little bit more applicable to our lives today than one would think. So, and we hope you enjoy this episode. We're so grateful you're here. Let's dive right in. Well, hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Clarity week two. Stephen, great job yesterday. As you led us into the second week of this series we're in. It was a great message.
Thank
grateful,
you.
Grateful to have you up there.
Yeah, covering some small topics.
Yeah,
you know, easy, no big deal.
Simple. Yeah. Mellow. It was only what, four verses that you covered?
So you know, I mean, it must have been super simple. Yeah. It's not something that's highly debated.
I mean, we're going after clarity. Well done.
Yeah, thank you. Obviously. That's why I had to wear glasses on stage.
There it is. That's good. Yeah. Wanna obviously spend the majority of our time digging into this idea of holiness that you cover, just trying to clarify, make simple this complex idea, word that I think can be even culturally misunderstood, as you pointed out, where we can think of holiness as perfection. And that may be a bit of a skewed view from a biblical perspective. So great job bringing us into the loop on some of that context. But before digging into more about what you said, I'm curious, just like anytime we prepare a message, there's always some things where it's like, oh, I wish I had an extra 3 minutes to say that or to teach through this idea that we just don't have the time for. So Let's start with what didn't make the sermon, any additional context or scriptures that you were thinking about in the back of your head. And then we can move on from there.
Yeah, I really wanted to unpack the Old Testament portion that Peter is actually quoting.
Yep.
So Peter's quoting Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 2, where it says, you know, be holy as I am holy. That's the command that God is giving. And so I think it's always impressive, or I don't know if it's just the nerd in me, but I love looking at the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Like, he's never changed. Mm-hmm. There's nothing contradictory about what God says or about what the apostles or the disciples have written down in the New Testament. God's desire for us has always been to be holy. So that was a big one that I wanted to unpack, but it was setting me over on time. So
it's good. I love that text in Leviticus 2, right? Because it's, you know, the Lord says to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say this, be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. And he, you know, that word Lord, it is the name, it is Yahweh, it's the name of God. So it's almost as if he's saying, like, my character, it's like a core part of who I am as a being. I am holiness. Like that is who I am.
Yeah.
And speak it to the entire assembly, like to all of Israel. Like you should know, and you should not forget, this is who I am.
Right.
You know, then, now, and always.
Yeah. So and then reflect that character. Like, I am holy, so now you do it as well.
Yeah, 100%. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Love that. What else? What else is on your radar?
Yeah, there was this verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, where it says, pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. And so, you know, at first glance, it sounds like, oh, if you're not holy enough, you're not getting into heaven.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, oh. And so that is not what the author of Hebrews is saying at all. That word, when he's saying in there, that word pursue, it actually means to chase after, to run after. to earnestly seek. And it's actually the same word that Paul sometimes uses for persecution, you know, running someone down with determination. And so what he's really saying there is holiness isn't something that we're passive about. We don't accidentally stumble into becoming like Jesus, right? Yep. We intentionally pursue him. And so he's not saying, you know, pursue perfection or pursue rule keeping. Make sure you, you know, put on your costume of religious looking stuff. That's not what he's saying. He's saying pursue holiness with everything that you have. So
yeah, that's really good. It's funny. Just an observation I was making as I was looking at those two texts that were in the back of your mind that didn't quite make the message. And you did a good job of pointing this out, like this idea of holiness, is not like, it's not an idea that's driven from like just behavior modification or, hey, you need to change the way that you're doing your life or the things that you're doing in your life, as the like sole point of holiness.
Yeah.
Rather that's the byproduct of holiness. And even in both of these texts, so in the Leviticus 19 text, right, the Lord says to Moses, hey, tell this to the assembly, be holy because I am holy. And then he goes into almost as if like, once you believe that, here is what the byproduct, the result will be from your belief and buy-in to knowing that I am holy and knowing you should also be holy is each of you should respect your mother and father. It's like behaviors, right?
Absolutely.
You should not make idols. Like he goes specifically into why this stuff, why the committing sacrifices to false gods and idols in Leviticus 19. He goes into why this is a destructive behavior in comparison to the holiness that we are called to. The same thing in Hebrews 12, actually.
Yeah.
So right after the text you just mentioned, he goes into, so see to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, right? And then he goes into why that was a destructive pattern for Esau.
Absolutely.
So it's, I think it's easy in the church, especially like growing up in the church or, you know, just being outside of it and looking at the church as a cultural institution, it's easy to say, oh yeah, the church is all about making the right choices and doing the right things. When in reality, like again, it's a conversation we have all the time. Living a holy life is a byproduct of understanding holiness.
Right.
It is not in order to achieve holiness in any way, shape or form, just similar to your story to begin with Quinn, right?
Yeah,
she's not trying to like strive for or earn anything by helping you build. She just wants to be near you.
Absolutely.
She wants to experience you. So.
Yeah, I think it's important for us to remember that God declares us, right? He declares who we are. Then you have to start with what's first. He declares you. Then begins transformation, like transforming us into the people he's created us to be.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, that's really good. love that. Yeah, I think both of those texts are super valuable. Love that we've got a little bit of extra time here to chat about them because they do open our eyes even a little bit more.
Totally.
Digging into yesterday's message. Yeah, I just, like I said, I love the, look at Peter's, just charge. Right. And I think it's helpful to remember, and you even mentioned this, like who's he writing to? Well, he's writing to people that he calls exiles.
Mm-hmm.
So First Peter, Peter is writing to these, scattered, exiled Christians, right? Early followers of Jesus that are spread all throughout Asia Minor, like modern day Turkey. They're in all of these different cities that, by the way, if you read the list, you may recognize some of them. Galatia is one of them, right? So there are other books by other apostles that were written to many of these same churches in these same cities. And he's writing to these people who are experiencing this, like one of the most heavily persecuted people groups in the history of the church, right? Under the reign of Emperor Nero, you've got this chaos happening in Rome, this wild persecution of Christians. So of course they scatter, they're exiles. And I think remembering that Peter is speaking to them about the importance of living a holy life, just trying to draw near, remember that we're set apart by God in the midst of that persecution.
Sure.
Almost as if it is not a response to, but just like a What would be the language? Almost just like a point of being generally, like regardless of your circumstances.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Holiness is, we are called to this. We are called to be set apart. So I just love that reminder of the context. Like, oh yeah, he is writing to a people that absolutely need to hear this.
Yeah,
this
he
moment.
Took 12 verses right at the top to remind them who they are, who they belong to, who they've been set apart to. And then he starts unpacking some of this other stuff. And so that was kind of the first thing I started with was, you know, it says in verse 13, therefore.
Yeah.
All right. So I, you know, a lot of old pastors say it, but when you see the word therefore, you ask yourself, what is it there for?
Yep. We've got an old friend who's in the back of my head always. What's the therefore there for? Like every time I hear it, I'm like, oh yeah, there. Okay. There, great question to ask.
There it is.
Yeah. Noted. Yeah, that's really good. Todd, as you were reading through and listening to the message this past weekend, what were some of the things around this idea of holiness that stood out to you? What are some of the conversations that you have regularly that, you know, this may nudge us in the direction of?
Yeah, Steve, I'm very excited that you address kind of the idea of how we see perfection like that. And you guys have already alluded to it, but I think that gets in the way so much for us. 'Cause we think of perfection of something that can be on its own, independent of anything, and it can function. And be like, man, and so we build our lives going, okay, once I get there, God will notice me or God will do this. So that's why we focus on the behavior modification first, where God goes, no, let's reverse engineer what you're thinking. Let's start with who can make that possible.
Right.
And let's, the perfection is more found in us walking this out together with the Lord and learning as we go along the way. And it's even funny, I was listening to a sermon recently talking about exile. Like sometimes our holiness is really shown when we are in that exile or in a tough dynamic of going, okay, I think about, I was listening to like Jeremiah 29:11 that has like plans to prosper you and all that. But this is, Jeremiah is writing this to people who have been in exile and saying, hey, don't just be like, okay, we're just going to hunker down, make it through the next 70 years, and then we'll go. He said, no, holiness living is going, you're going to be like, go and have kids, go and do what's best and make this land that you're in great. Right. And that's just a very interesting mindset to go after of like, as you kind of alluded to with Peter, like, no, like you're in exile, go live the life God has you. But the only way to do that is to walk with the Lord, who's going to be like, I know this isn't your land, but can you still do it? Yeah. And like, this is where like holiness gets that path. And you can't do that, like walk on your own. You're like, okay, I'm just going to try to prove it to God that I can do it. And God's like, no, I'm not asking you to do that. I want you to walk with me and see how I can show you how to prosper in a land you don't want to be in. I want to show you how to live this life, even though you don't think it's possible. And so that's where you have the turns and you have this. And even your part with Leviticus at the beginning, I love even being able to go, it's not just in the New Testament that you see this holiness approach. And we get Peter as an example. I think David's a good example of seeing that, a guy after God's own heart and trying to live that out. Both of them made plenty of mistakes and both of them had a ton of right and left turns. But the thing they tried to do was just walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so that's, if we simplify it to that, and I know there's a lot of other okay, so how do we know if we've hit holiness? There's all those kind of like tough conversations, but it's just like, it's just a matter of, do you feel like you're growing in that because you're walking and you belong? I love that language too, that you belong to the Lord. So,
well, it reminds me too of, I mean, even something, Stephen, you mentioned that this holiness transformation that we experience once we are, you know, active followers of Jesus, as you pointed out, it begins with that relationship. Like it is not possible to achieve holiness, to strive for holiness apart from God, right?
Right.
In fact, like he is the one who sets us apart and guides us into holiness because it's part of his character as we're trying to emulate, like, God, let us just try to reflect you as much as we can.
Yeah. I was reading a book recently by Matt Chandler. He just released a book called Becoming Like Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he walks through the Beatitudes and he's actually talking about holiness and all that. And he had this illustration of a spring that's on its side. And he says, realize the spring goes up and down and up and down, but constantly it is always moving forward. Mm. And so I thought that was a really cool analogy that he presented. He's like, this walk for becoming like Jesus, it's going to have these ups and downs, but it's constantly moving forward.
That's really good. I was going to save this for later as we dig into application stuff, but here's a good enough time. And we talked about this a little bit before. Todd even just hit on it. So I think it's important to note, especially when we're talking about the topic like holiness, that it is very easy to feel like, man, that is so far away.
Right.
Like there's this concept, especially within this maybe inaccurate view of holiness as perfection. It can feel as if it's like, yeah, that's awesome, but I'm like barely hanging on. Like I'm just like hanging on by a thread maybe when it comes to my faith, living a faithful life. It's important to remember that just like your spring illustration, the people who are writing some of these like teachings to us experienced that same up and down. So you mentioned the life of David not that long ago here.
And Peter,
So even in the life of Peter, one of the things that I was thinking about this morning was, oh yeah, even in the life of Peter himself, the one who's literally saying, like he's out of the back of his mind thinking about this, be holy because I am holy text, and teaching that once again to these persecuted believers in Asia Minor. Even him himself walked through this wild up and down journey of faith, right? You look at the story of Peter in the very beginning, and it's Jesus renaming Peter, right? Probably far before he was ready, right? He calls Peter and he renames him. Your name is from Cephas to Peter, right?
You're now the rock.
You are the rock by which I will establish my church, right? And then you've got the moment in Matthew 14 where, the disciples are on the boat in the storm. And we were talking about it earlier where he's the one that's bold enough to take a step out of the boat onto the water when he sees Jesus. And then of course he loses sight and he starts to sink. But at the very least, he was bold enough to go take that step, but then he kind of fails. And then Jesus saves him again. And then you've got later on in Matthew 16, when Jesus is like, who do you say I am? You're the Messiah. And then Jesus in that same sentence rebukes Peter, right? He says, get behind me, Satan. Like that's that same Peter.
Yeah, he renames him Satan after he just called him the rock.
I know.
Like, what happened?
I know. Like you get a couple chapters later and it's just these ups and downs. You've got, of course, like one of the most famous parts of his story where Jesus is like, hey, you, my disciples will deny me. And Peter's like, no, I won't. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
I will stand with you.
And it's almost as if Jesus is like, hey, Peter, like tone it down. Cause you are going to, let me actually share some very specific ways that you're going to, it's going to be three times before the rooster crows. He's like, no, never will. And of course.
And those are not two things we usually put together as no God, right? No, Jesus. And then he's telling Jesus, no, like he doesn't know what's going to happen.
Right. And then of course it happens.
Yeah.
And the rooster crows. And I'm certain Peter's just heartbroken over like, oh, yep. I sure did. Like he knows something
about that one.
But then again, like you've got this crazy high mark of being restored right after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus is walking the earth. He restores Peter right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and they share a meal together, and they're around this campfire, right? And you've got this high of being restored, and Jesus again is telling him, no, you are the one by which I will build my church. You're the rock.
Yeah.
So then you see in Acts 2, right? The day of Pentecost, Peter's the one who preaches the first gospel presentation message. Like when all of those thousands of people were baptized on the day of Pentecost, it was Peter's message who inspired that moment by the power of the Spirit living in him. But then that, like, we think about that as the end of Peter's story. And I know this is a big roundabout, like we're getting there sort of thing, but that wasn't the end of the up and down.
No.
We were talking about a little earlier in Galatians chapter 2, where Paul is speaking to one of the same churches, by the way, that Peter is writing to, same group of persecuted Christians in Galatia. Galatians chapter 2, Paul rebukes Peter. He calls him Cephas in most of our translations, but that is Peter. It's the same guy that we're talking about here. He rebukes him saying, hey, when I was with you in Galatia, I rebuked Peter, Cephas, to his face because of the way he was treating you, essentially. He said he was being influenced by some of James's friends. It's this whole funny, like, you know, you've got like three or four paragraphs of Paul explaining what happened, but essentially you've got Peter, who was influenced by these people to treat Gentiles differently than the Jews,
yeah,
and to distance himself from the Gentiles, when in reality, like, Peter and Paul, they were all called to reach all lost people, Jew or Gentile alike. Yeah. So you've got these ups and downs and ups and downs all throughout his story, yet still we see like this pursuit of holiness in him. So all of that to say, I think one of the traps that the enemy tries to like suppress us into is saying, man, we're just so far from that. Maybe you know a holy person in your life, or you've got someone in your life that has a really strong relationship with the Lord, and you think, man, I'm just so far from that. Okay, you may be. So was Peter.
Yeah.
Like at many points in his life, he was very far from the holiness by which he, by the way, saw with his own eyes in Jesus. And though we don't have that luxury, we do have the power of the Spirit living in us, just like he did post Pentecost. So,
right.
I want to make sure that we are not believing the lies of the enemy in the, hey, we're so far away from that, we can never achieve that, because I think this is the path that the Lord has us on. It is going to be rocky, that we're going to have ups, we're going to have downs, great mountaintop moments and deep despair in the midst of it, much like David in the Old Testament. Yet still we're called to pursue this closeness with the Lord, and we can't let anything, including those lies from the enemy, get in the way of that.
Definitely.
I think a good application point out of that is just like, go take some of the major like characters or pillars of the faith of the Bible, mm-hmm, and like, you would see that. Moses is another great example. Yeah. You just see these people that God is like, man, I got to walk with them. It was incredible. But man, they had a lot. It wasn't just, man, they got it right, and then boom, they were great from that point on. It was still growing and learning what holiness truly looks like.
Yeah.
And so I think, I mean, yes, we went on a tangent there of explaining Peter's story, but I also go like, but do that with, and you'll just see this constant, like, this is what God does with us. And that's why he goes, be holy as I am holy, because I believe I can get you there.
Yeah.
I know I can get you there.
It just helps remind us it's not this linear path. It's not
up and to the right.
I was just going
to
say, it's not this chart where it's like, hey, met Jesus, boom, we're going. There certainly will still be moments where it's like, oh yeah, we feel low. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a perfect analogy, but I think of it more like God goes like, okay, we're going to like, best way to make a pie, and we're going to keep putting these pieces in along the way.
More importantly, what kind of pie?
Yeah, well, the best one you could ever think
of. Oh, okay. All right.
The kind of pie that you make in pieces.
Yes.
Oh, that one. Okay. Yeah.
But it's reverse order. So you're like pruning it. You've already cut it. You're doing little slices of it. But I think of like, he's teaching the fruits of the Spirit. And there's times he's going to be like, we kind of messed that one up. Let's take that out and let's redo that. And so it's more of like him putting this together, which we want to be like, well, no, we started with all of it. And it's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Like, you're just kind of slowly kind of building this to where, as you bake anything, you're like, okay, now we're finally getting to the good part. Cause when you start to bake something or make a pie, like, it looks terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one wants to eat that.
Yeah.
Like, you might be licking some of the dough, but it's like, let's see the finished product.
Absolutely.
And guy goes, well, yeah, we got to work through that process. And not all of that is up and down. It's messy. It's, you get stuff everywhere. And then you're like, okay, now we get to clean the kitchen after we've put it in. And so it's just more of a process that God's taking us through, instead of just, hey, look at the chart of all of our profits that we've made.
Yep.
Right. And it's just not, that's not the right analogy when it comes to holiness.
Yeah, we don't have this. We don't want to bring our resume to God in a sense, right? Like, hey, look at all these great things I do.
Yep.
I've heard it put this way. We don't get into heaven on a resume. We get in by a referral. Mm-hmm. And the referral is Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so you definitely want to go off of his referral instead of your resume.
But then we still get into that conversation of, well, how do we earn it? How do I earn that referral? And it's like, no. Like, just
back up.
Just walk with him. He's willing to give it to you. Just walk with him. Absolutely. Have that relationship with him.
So. Yeah, that's really good. Well, then let's spend some time digging into just real practical application. How do we take some of those steps? What does it look like to take steps into a holier life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first step. And again, Peter lines it out in 1 Peter right there. And you know, all I did was unpack the text, like verses 13 to 16. And just constantly, Peter is reminding you for 12 to 13 of who you are. So the first thing you have to do is set aside all of those thoughts that say, I have to earn this, I have to work for this. Here's my checklist, here's my holy list. You know, I helped X amount of old ladies across the street, so I must be good to go today. That's not it. You have to first know your identity in who you are in Jesus Christ. And so if you have said, I mean, Romans 10:9, right? If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Yeah. That is step number one. Right. If we were to put these into steps or whatever, you first have to give your life to God. And when you do that, you are now a child of the Lord.
Yeah, that's really good. It reminds me even Galatians chapter 2. So after Paul rebukes Peter, like actually shortly after, he starts explaining a bit of his own journey. And it's one of my favorite texts in Galatians, but he goes through this. This statement of, for I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And this is the line that always gets me is, who loved me and gave himself for me. Mm. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So it's this recounting of Paul's own story where he goes, oh yeah, yeah. I was working really hard for what I thought was God by persecuting Christians and holding the coats of those who martyred Stephen, right? And
yeah, building that resume pretty good.
Yep. in fact, traveling to Damascus in order to persecute more Christians, try to appease the Jewish ruling council there and advocate for this faith that he thought he was a part of. And then God met him there on the road. And of course he has this crazy transformation story, but it starts with, oh, now I know who God is. So I'm going to act accordingly. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to finish. I'm going to make it to Damascus. I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to have this wild experience of growing and learning from the leaders of the church. And then, of course, like when he recounts this story, it's, I've been crucified with Christ. Again, it's this actual picture of what happens in baptism, which I think is a beautiful thing, being crucified with Christ, raised to new life with him. And it's no longer Paul that lives, it's Christ who lives in me, which even as you close, the song we sang to close and respond yesterday, just this beautiful reminder, it is, the Son of God that I have faith in, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where this all begins.
And that's the same picture that Paul paints for Romans 12.
Yeah.
Right? So he takes Romans 1 through 11. He talks about all these things. And then Romans 12, he gets to application. Right? And he says, therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so before, what he's really telling us is before holiness changes your habits, it changes your posture.
Yeah.
Right. You become a living sacrifice laying on an altar. But sometimes, right, what does a living sacrifice do compared to a dead sacrifice? Well, a living sacrifice tries to crawl off the altar.
Yep.
Right. Like, God, I'm yours today on Sunday, but Monday I'm just gonna kind of sneak out of my my bed here as a kid would, right? You're sneaking off of the altar.
Yeah.
But instead, you know, every day starts with just saying, Jesus, today my life is yours. And, you know, holiness isn't waking up saying, how can I avoid sin today? Like, it's good to avoid sin. Absolutely. But we need to wake up and just ask Jesus, how can I belong to you today? Mm-hmm. And that's where we need to start that.
One of the things you'll see with Paul is that before his conversion, you see a lot of language of that legalistic resume building mindset.
Yeah.
Like, hey, how do I transactionally allow God to see me. Look at what I've done so that I can earn this. Then you see, and we see this a lot in the scriptures where he talks about once I come, Jesus with me or in me.
Yep.
It's a lot of with and in. And so that kind of belong language starts to change in relationship language. So you can see the holiness transformation even in that to where it's going, okay. So that's a good challenge for us is like, ooh, okay, am I living this more legalistically transaction, like none of us want to say yes, but we can easily do that. Well, I've got my checklist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God's going like, that's not holiness. Like, yeah. I think you should be obedient, but when's the time, last time you've been with me? When's the last, like, do you even understand when it says, like, I can be in you? Like, what does that mean to you? And so those are bigger conversations. And are you using that language when you're, you know, when you're praying? And when you're, that, to me, that's a great application point of going, okay, have I made this too legalistic within my walk of holiness or transactional versus that relational, where you see Paul start to change his language with Christ and in Christ? So.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a great reminder of just that, like, okay, we need to audit where we find our, where our identity comes from, right? It's, have we actually taken off the old clothes now that we have faith and are being made new by the Lord? You know, that is where our identity lays, lies. It's not in the old patterns, the old ways. It is in who Christ is.
Right.
Again, I think just so beautifully on display. Yeah. He loved us and gave himself for us in Galatians 2. But then too, even in that Romans 12 text, it's a reminder for us of this, like, okay, we need to be constantly checking our minds. Mm-hmm. You even mentioned in the message yesterday, Stephen, we often, whether it's by like external circumstances or sometimes intentional decisions, like we fog our own minds or sometimes without even realizing it, like anxiety or fear or whatever else it may be. Like we just have, our minds are fogged and we are not always thinking clearly. And I think this Romans 12 text gives us this reminder of like, hey, renew your mind because of what the Lord has done for you. Yeah. You have this opportunity to renew. So I wonder from an application standpoint, how do we go about doing that in some of these different circumstances where we may be fogged by all sorts of different things? Again, maybe it's like fear or anxiety. Maybe it's an intentional decision, a substance, something along those lines. How do we continue to renew our mind and fix our eyes on Jesus?
Right. I believe that Peter really connects that clear thinking with holy living, right? So, so we had talked about that being transformed by the renewing of your mind. But I'm also reminded of Paul in, I can't remember if it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, but he says, take every thought captive. Yeah. And so as it's getting ready to enter your, as it's entering your mind, saying, hold on, is this thought of the Lord or is this thought of the world? Is it of me? And when you take that thought captive, what are you going to do with it? And I think that that's really going to help us on our journey as we're walking out our holiness, right? Because holiness is not perfection today. It's direction for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so as we are walking this out, we're going to have moments where we're going to say, I'm going to take that thought and I'm going to run with it myself. I'm going to run with it and think I can do this myself. I'm going to try to fit the mold of the world and take that thought and do that. But over time, we're going to remember that, okay, wait, the Holy Spirit lives in me. He dwells in me. Holy Spirit, what do I do with this thought? Mm-hmm. Let me give it to you and have you give me the direction.
Yeah.
That's so I really think good. That's the next step in that.
That's really good.
I feel like one thing that maybe it's even something I think God is challenging me with in my own holiness is just some people label it like a comfort crisis, like as in we're living in a time where... probably one of the more comfortable times that humanity has ever had.
All right.
In regards to, we don't worry about the things. I think about Peter, like they're all worrying about their lives and we're like, I don't think about that.
I'm worried that my coffee cup is
right,
too low.
Like we're worried about that.
So I might as well just take this. So, we'll stop worrying here.
Comfort wise, like here's the things that can be dangerous. And that is like, well, we don't have moments like we're in prison, like Paul is, and we're bored.
Yeah.
And our mind doesn't have time to wander because we'll just hop on our phones and just, hey, now we're scrolling and God's like, hey, I actually just wanted to sit with you and talk, but now you're okay.
Yeah. Now you're crushing candies on your phone.
Yeah. Yep. and so there can be those kind of things. Also, it's just like, we stop trying to do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, God may go, hey, I want you to forgive that person, or I want you to do this. And it's like, I don't know, like that. Do I have to go talk to him? Do I have to, it'd just be easier to sit at home.
Yeah.
And just do those things versus that wasn't an option.
Yeah.
Like 60 years ago, it would be like, maybe similar, some of the same things, but They had to go, well, no, I have to go solve this myself. There's not all these conveniences. There's not all these things that I can just go do. And so some of that would be, okay, is that getting in the way of us experiencing holiness? Because we just would prefer comfort. Mm-hmm. And holiness and comfort aren't going to be in the same line. Like they're going to be different. And so I think along with, you get the legalistic part and be like, okay, am I too comfortable? And I wonder about that for the person who's been a Christian for 20 years.
Right.
Or 10 years or 50. You've been a Christian for a long time. It's going pretty well. Things are great. Your whole family loves the Lord.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, but when's the last time you were challenged like you were when you first stepped into Christ and first began that relationship? Like, do you still have that desire in you? Because that's what I love. Like you bring up with Peter. Peter got challenged sometimes. When's the last time you've been challenged? Somebody said, hey, that way you handle that, not okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That's actually a holiness moment. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing this line and I thought it was good. Like too often we will look at problems, and this is in regards to ministry, and be like, oh, they're getting in the way of ministry.
Yeah.
And it's like, no. Problems is part of the ministry. And I'd go, problems is part of our holiness too.
Yep. Yeah.
Like that's, you may be frustrated we're taking this right turn when you're like, man, if we just go left, we'll be like right there to that center of the labyrinth. And you're like, we'll be right there. And God's like, no. There is something for you to learn in this journey.
Yeah.
And so be okay with it. Sometimes problems coming up or things happening, because too often we just try to fix them and let's get back to comfort.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. And the Western American mindset, that's where we thrive is comfort.
Right.
And that's what we think we thrive in.
Can I tell you a funny story that happened while we were on vacation?
Tell me.
We were watching a fireworks show, you know, it's 250th this year. And so big deal.
Merc.
We get done with the fireworks show. We sat in the parking lot for an hour and 45 minutes. The whole town's gridlocked. Like they could not handle it.
Oh my goodness.
To watch my children. Corbin's like, we'll never get out of here. Emma's like, I'm leaving the car. I'm done. And it's just like, what are you going to go do?
Yeah.
And so to watch like just this dynamic of like, what's going on? Why? And you have no idea. Like you don't understand why you're sitting in this parking lot. And the city, it's not that huge. Like it shouldn't be this gridlocked.
Right.
But it was one of those moments like, I have kept saying, guys, we're not going anywhere. I don't know when we're going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And you just watch even adults. I'm going to go talk to this officer. I bet he's not going to solve it.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to
do? He's stuck in here too.
We're stuck in here too. But let me tell you, it's a memory we'll have for the family. Yeah. Cause it's like, well, look at how inconvenient we were.
Exactly.
Like, that is great. An hour and 45 minutes. Can't believe. True. So just the idea of waiting in line, all of that kind of stuff is going like, are we okay being inconvenienced and our comfort being taken aside so that we can grow in holiness? Yeah, I think that is actually, for me personally, that is one of the tougher ones I have to deal with.
Yeah.
I can see the legalist like, okay, I'm getting down that road. He's like the comfort one's harder for me to see.
Well, even that first one you started with of like, okay, I'm just going to sit with this question and not get on my phone. I think a lot of us will sit there with the question for maybe 10 or 15 seconds. Okay, God, I didn't hear from you. And then you get right back on your phone.
Yeah.
Like part of me is like, okay, that's a step. Good job. You took a step. Next time, try 30 seconds, right? Yep. Next time, try a minute and see if you can actually hear the Lord. Because when you're surrendering your mind to him, it's going to take time to hear from him, especially when we are so fogged up with what the world has thrown at us.
Yeah.
Yeah. That fog language is a great, like you actually don't know you're in a fog.
Yep.
Until you've been exposed to something else.
Oh yeah.
You're like, oh.
It's why I'm just such a huge proponent, whether it's from a faith perspective or otherwise, like of just intentionally choosing to do hard things.
Yeah.
I think about it mostly from a physical standpoint. It's like, okay, when you have some sort of rhythm in your life, some people it's like, I go to the gym 5 days a week. And like, that's the hard thing that I choose to do. And I'm just really disciplined to doing that thing. For others, it's like a few times a year you go on a some sort of hike, or you go for a hunt that you know is going to be pretty grueling in the backcountry, and like you go choose to do a hard thing. I'm just such a proponent of that from the sense of like, it's just, there is, in doing something challenging, you are more present than you typically have to be. And that's what lifts the fog. You are more intentional. You are not just like coasting. You are in it. You are making intentional decisions. So even like, I just think there is a good physical practice of, oh, if I go do something hard, it just kind of brings me back to reality. I think it's totally. Really, really important. You mentioned.
And studies show that.
This
is not just Brendan's, you know, wisdom. Like this is, we're like, it is all over the place.
I mean, you mentioned Comfort Crisis. There's a book called Comfort Crisis by Michael Esther that I know I've mentioned before, where he identifies this entire theory of like, we are, we are generally a sentient society that, you know, we often are sitting behind a desk or, you know, relaxing at home, which again, I do most of the time, but he points out some of the data behind how good it is for people, even from like a psychological perspective, to go try something hard. It's not a faith-based book at all. It's just about human behavior,
right?
And the psychology of what it means to go do something that you don't know if you can do, right? It's always that, okay, there's a risk that if I want to go try to do this thing, I may fail at it. And there's something so good. I think it's built into us by trying to do something like that. And it really clarifies, lifts the fog, or has a way of doing that anyways.
And Jesus was often, I mean, we always hear, right? Jesus is the picture of love. Well, I think that brings us back to that love then often chooses the harder path.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, forgiveness or forgiving is harder than holding a grudge.
Yes.
Right? Telling the truth is harder than lying a lot of times, or confessing sin is a lot harder than just trying to hide it.
Right.
And so how are we going to bring that to the light and say, okay, God, I want to do this your way. And it might be in that same book you talked about, but oftentimes when there is some headbutting, especially in relationships or friendships, after that is resolved, because you have to resolve it, after it's resolved, you're often closer than you were before.
Yeah.
And so.
That's really good. Love that. Well, I think that's a great place to end as far as application goes. Lift the fog, do something hard. Continue to seek the Lord and spend time with him.
Because that's where holiness is going to lead you. Like,
absolutely.
Don't think it's going to be, it's just smooth sailing on some levels. You can grow, but man, it's, you're going to be fighting some different things, and you see that over and over in scripture.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. Faithfulness is that you're taking the next step. If it's hard, if it's easy, you're taking the next step towards Jesus Christ. So take that hard step.
Yep. Love that. All right. Thanks guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you again next week. Well, that is a wrap on episode 27 of the Run From Zero podcast. We hope that there was, you know, some sort of nugget or some sort of application point that you could pull from this conversation today that might draw you just a little closer in your relationship with the Lord. That's the whole reason we do this, is so that we might be able to drive more application from our messages from Wednesday and Sunday. We're so glad again that you joined us for today, and we'll see you again next week.